Brahmaksharam Abhi Vrinano Mahotatrayam Udakanta Uva Vivesha. Translation Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. My dear king, one day, after finishing his morning duties, evacuating, urinating, and bathing, Maharaj Bharat sat down on the bank of the river Gandaki for a few moments and began chanting his mantra, beginning with Omkar. O king, while Bharat Maharaj was sitting on the bank of that river, a doe, being very thirsty, came there to drink. While the doe was drinking with great satisfaction, a lion, which was very close, roared very loudly. This is frightful to his living. Every living entity was heard by the doe. By nature, the doe was always afraid of being killed by others, and it was always thinking. I was looking about suspiciously. When it heard the lion's tumultuous roar, it became very agitated, looking here and there with disturbed eyes. The doe, although it did not fully satisfied itself by drinking water, suddenly leaped across the river. The doe was pregnant, and when it jumped out of fear, the baby deer fell from its womb into the flowing waters of the river. Purport, there's every chance of a woman's having a miscarriage, or she's experienced some ecstatic emotion, or is frightened pregnant women should therefore be spared all these external influences. Being separated from its flock and distressed by its miscarriage, the black doe, having crossed the river, was very much distressed, and even fell down in the cave and died immediately. The great king Bharat, while sitting on the bank of the river, saw the small deer bereft of its mother floating down the river. Seeing this, he felt great compassion. Like a sincere friend, he lifted the infant deer from the waves, and knowing it would be motherless, brought it to his ashrama. Report. The laws of nature work in subtle ways unknown to us. Maharaj Bharat was a great king, very advanced in devotional service. He had almost reached the point of loving service to the Supreme Lord, but even from that platform he could fall down onto the material platform. Bharat would need to be there for warm, oh, best of among men. The person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Spiritual salvation, liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution, otherwise a little discrepancy will cause one to fall down again into material existence. By studying the activities of Maharaj Bharata, we can learn the art of becoming completely free from all material attachment. As it will be revealed in later verses, Bharata Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer due to the already compassion for this infant deer, which would be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, at any moment our spiritual destiny is spoiled and we may fall down onto the material platform. Maharaj Bharata's compassion for the deer was the beginning of his fall down into the material world. Gradually, Maharaj Bharata became very affectionate towards the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from the attacks of tigers and animals. When it itched, he petted it, and at this time, he always tried to keep it in a comfortable condition. Sometimes kissed out of love. Being attached to raising the deer, Maharaj Bharata forgot the rules and regulations for advancement of spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual advancements. Therefore, from this we can understand how we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations and regular chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. You must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangal Arati, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, and follow all the rules prescribed by the Acharyas and spiritual masters. If we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, acts of charity, sacrifice, penance, and charity are not to be given up, but should be performed. Indeed, the sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great soul. Even if one is in the renounced order, he should never give up the right of the principles. He should worship deity, his time and life in the service of Krishna. He should also continue following the rules and regulations of austerity and penance. These things cannot be given up. One should not think oneself very advanced simply because one has accepted the sannyas order. The activities of Bharata Maharaj should be carefully studied for one's spiritual advancement. The great king Maharaj Bharata began to think, alas, this helpless young deer, by the force of time and age and of the Supreme Personality of God, it has now lost its relatives and friends and has taken shelter of me. It does not know anyone but me, as I have become its father, mother, brother, and relatives. This deer is thinking in this way, and it has full faith in me. It does not know anyone but me. Therefore, I should not be envious and think that for the deer my own welfare will be destroyed. I should certainly raise, protect, and gratify, and fondle it when it is taking shelter with me. How could I neglect it? Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, I realize that a helpless person who is taking shelter cannot be neglected. That would be a great fault. Therefore, when a person advances in spiritual consciousness or Christian consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic towards all living entities suffering in the material world. Naturally, such an advanced person thinks of the suffering of the people in general. However, if one does not know of the material sufferings of fallen souls and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharata Maharaj, so sympathy and compassion is the cause of one's downfall. If one is actually sympathetic to fallen suffering humanity, you should try to elevate people from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. As far as the deer is concerned, Bharata Maharaj became very sympathetic, but he forgot that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness, because after all, a deer is but an animal. It was very dangerous for Bharata Maharaj to sacrifice all his regulator principles simply to take care of an animal. The principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita should be followed. Yam hi na jatayanti ete purusham purusharshava. As far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. However, by the grace of Krishna, we may raise a person to spiritual consciousness if we ourselves follow these rules and regulations. If we give up our own spiritual activities and simply become concerned with the bodily comforts of others, we will fall into the dangerous positions. So here we have the description of Bharata Maharaj. The previous chapter actually discussed his retirement activities. And now, the actual incident, which was significant in his life, is mentioned. That is, that he saw the baby deer in the water, he rescued it, and then began taking care of the deer out of compassion. And then I became very attached to the deer. So there's nothing wrong with compassion, though we find it also causes problems. So in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was showing compassion, and as such there's nothing wrong with compassion. One of the qualities that develops in bhakti also is that one shows compassion for all living entities. And one of the angas of bhakti, I think the 19th one, is that one should not agitate other living entities, whoever they are, animals, plants, or human being, or whatever. One should not disturb other living entities. So, naturally, the opposite, of course, is violence, and then we say that violence and killing animals is a sinful activity. So definitely, there must be some compassion there in normal human beings, and especially in devotees. So, on the other hand, that compassion sometimes creates problems. And in the case of Arjuna, he was compassionate for other living entities, but it was somewhat misplaced. And therefore, Krishna told him, you have to give up this attitude. It's based on foolishness, and you have to fight. In this case, we also see that the compassion led to Bharat Maharaj forgetting to worship the Supreme Lord, and he became completely attached to the deer. So there is a limit to the compassion that we show to other living entities in this material world. We have to show compassion, definitely. At the same time, if that becomes excessive, then we can fall into problems. So in the case of Arjuna, he wanted to stop fighting. And in the case of Bharat, then he stopped his worship of the Supreme Lord because of this. So it can create an obstacle to bhakti also, that compassion if it is directed towards other living entities. So where do we draw the line? How much compassion we can show? So the basic principle, of course, is that the devotee has compassion for the living entities of this material world, but he also understands the root cause of their suffering, not just the temporary suffering, but the root cause. And of course the root cause is ignorance of the Supreme Lord. So to help a living entity, ultimately that type of knowledge has to be given. And all other types of help that we give are very temporary. So in this way, we have to understand our compassion to another living entity. Yes, we can help them to some degree, materially speaking, but we also understand that that has a limit. And the greater thing is that we go to the root problem and solve that problem. So, in other words, our compassion is based upon not seeing the individual in his material body exclusively, but seeing him as a jiva, subject to the karmas and the problems of this material world. So one has to see both things. Ultimately, we also know that the suffering caused to living entities in the material world is due to the fact that they've done karmas, and therefore they're in a position of suffering. So, due to ignorance, they've been put into this position of suffering, so the way we can come out of the suffering is by knowledge. This, of course, is a rather long, drawn-out process in some cases. And some people want immediate relief, whatever. So, in spite of that, we cannot forget the final solution to the problem. We cannot become overcome by the temporary nature of the problem and forget the final solution. If we do, and then we can get into big problems. We can have a balance between the temporary problem and the solution to the problem in the long run. So if we do together, fine, then we can benefit the person on the temporary level and, of course, on the final level, that is spiritual development. So it's difficult to preach to some people who are suffering in the material world and have no faith. How do we preach to them? And the operatas there don't preach to the faithless persons. So yes, we cannot preach directly to many people in the material world. Right? So how do we relieve them of the suffering? But at the same time, we see that Lord Chaitanya ordered all of his people to go out and said, you tell everybody to chant the name of the Lord. You expose everybody to the name of Krishna. And that is why Nityananda and Haridas went to Jagai Mata, even though they were very unfavorable, and told them to chant the name of Krishna. So what do we do how do we act without committing aparadha? I'll preach to the faithless persons. So, yes, for people who are in lower modes or whatever, we don't necessarily preach to them and explain the philosophy, but we can let them hear the name of Krishna, and we can give them prasadam and do such things. And that is for their benefit. So that is how we can actually help to deliver them. And if they, through this exposure, get some faith, then we can actually preach to them higher philosophy. So definitely in the beginning, no, we cannot preach philosophy to somebody who is simply suffering in the material world and has no faith. Some cases they may have faith, yes, then we can preach to them. Other cases they don't, so we can't preach. But at least we can expose them to the chanting of Hare Krishna, and we can also give them prasadam. So these, of course, were basic principles that Prabhupada established early in the movement. And make everybody hear the name of Krishna and give up prasadam to everybody. Very simple process in general. Over and above that, then we do have the philosophy. So those people that do have faith or develop faith through that exposure, then we can give them books or explain the philosophy to them and help them advance in their Krishna consciousness. So that is how our main effort at compassion, that's our main effort in compassion. We give them that. So other things that may be done to help people materially, those may be done, but as in the case of Bharat, again, we have to be very careful that we don't become overcome by these types of compassion, and we should not think that they are a final solution to the problem. That the root is there, and we can never lose sight of that. So, if we're going to involve in these other types of activities, charitable activities, then we have to be very, very careful that we don't lose perspective of the primary goal. Don't be overcome by, don't become over-attached to the temporary goals. So, in the Varnashram system, of course, the emphasis is more upon this type of work, and therefore, charities are recommended in the Varnashram system. And as Prabhupada has quoted, you should never give up charitable acts, etc. So we'll find for all persons in the Varnashram system, whether it's Sudra or Brahmana, acts of charity are recommended, particularly for the householders. So they have to do certain activities to help other living entities, and feed other living entities, whatever. And even there is a Panchamaha Karma, Panchamaha Yajna, sorry, to deliver you from the daily acts of stepping on insects or grinding them up when you make your little leaves or when you light your fire, etc., or you sweep the floor or whatever. So we have accidental karmas that we create. So the Panchamaha Yajna is performed every day to rid oneself of those sins. So among them, of course, is the offering to living entities. One should offer food to living entities. One should offer food to pitchers, offer to the devatas, etc., and offer to other living entities, offer to guests, and whatever. So there are various ways we can relieve ourselves of karma. So one is feeding living entities. So, and we'll see in the Puranas that acts of charity are always recommended. This becomes punya. So we counteract our sinful reactions to suffering by doing punyas. So there are many different types of punyas you can do in the material world, like building public wells and supplying water to people,
planting trees or whatever, making roads or lighting up a place or whatever, feeding people, all of this, giving education, whatever. These are all charitable works, and they're all recommended in the Varnashram system. All the grihasthas should do these type of things. So that type of compassion is inculcated in people as a antidote to the opposite of that, sinful activities, and the results of sinful activities, that is suffering. So as Vaishnavas, of course, as I said, this has to be balanced, because we also understand that these type of punyas are a bondage in the material world, and they create karma for us and sattva guna. So the devotee, of course, is not really interested in one thing or the other, bondage or non-bondage. He's only interested in serving the Lord. But if he does participate in such activities, then it's possible that instead of getting out of the material world, he stays in the material world because of these attachments. So we see this is the case of Bharat. Yes, it was good, because as a kshatriya especially, he has to show compassion to those who are unprotected. Kshatriya means one who gives protection to the people that have no protection. So it's his duty to do so. And we see one of the characters of the kshatriya is charity. Of course, it's for everybody in the system, particularly for the kshatriya. He should be charitable to others and be kind and compassionate, whatever. So it was not wrong for Bharat as a kshatriya to do so. But then we see the result. There was negative results also, as far as bhakti was concerned. There were some negative results. So though punya and compassion are glorified, in terms of bhakti, they may have some negative results. In terms of regular karma, no. It's happiness in the material world. You get good birth, etc., through punyas. But as far as bhakti is concerned, it can create problems and lead you into more birth in the material world and attachments, etc. So from this we can see the difference between the Varnashram system, Karma Yoga, and Bhakti. There is some similarities, and we can borrow some principles, but again, these principles are not absolute in comparison to the principles of Bhakti. So we have to see those distinctions.
What if compassion is a material quality?
Yeah, sattva guna.
And the logic which Maharaj is giving, can we say that this state of fallout, like bewilderment of memory, like those 8 steps in Bhagavad Gita, is in the second chapter? Because of the attachment it develops.
Yeah, we can say that. Yeah, yeah.
So in that regard, we can suggest. Yeah.
Even during preaching, we don't have compassion to our preach. And then we go listen to other people's problems, and they tell us anything, please pray for me. It's also a chance for devotees when we associate with both such type of people. Devotees, they feel very compassionate to their various problems and they help you.
Yeah, so that is why we have to be very, very careful that if we're preaching and we hear all their problems, that we become too materially compassionate. We have to understand that the solution ultimately is a spiritual solution, not a material solution. And even though they have so many material problems, as I said, ultimately all these problems come back because of their karmas in the material world due to ignorance. So the best thing, the solution for that is to solve that by giving them proper knowledge and proper conduct.
Well, sometimes for showing compassion, sometimes outreach programs are organized, and this program where girls are trying to be attracted to for a particular program, like to fashion, which is not directly Krishna consciousness, not even directly Krishna, and then getting a senior star, so that the more girls can be attracted. But that is only the front ending, and the backside, yes, there will be kirtan and there will be prasadam.
Mm.
So how do we see it? Is it okay?
Well, as I said, if they're faithless, we can't preach to them anyway.
Yeah.
So all we can do is expose them to the name and give them prasadam and do things like that. So yes, we have many programs like that. That should be our only program, but it's one way in which we can get people, attract people through that, and we can preach to them afterwards. That's all. And this is just a means to an end. Well, this is what a prayaschitta basically is, by doing a prayaschitta. That is to make some vows and do this and do that, and do some charities and chant some mantras or whatever and all this. Then you counteract your previous suffering. You cancel out the effects of karma that way.
And conventionally, it is not possible. Conventionally, it is not possible. Piety and impiety doesn't cancel each other.
Well, yeah, as I said, the prayaschittas generally cancel out the effects of your karmas. So that is why in astrology also, if you have some Rahu or something affecting you, then you do a certain activity to cancel that out. Same sort of thing. It doesn't really completely cancel, but at least it mitigates the effects to some degree. Just as if you commit an offense against the Lord, then you counteract that by worshiping the Lord, something like that. So your karma is basically an offense against a certain devata, and therefore by pleasing the devata, then you lessen your karmas.
My question of indirect preaching, I find in China and some other places, yogis don't put Krishna in the front, they just put yoga, other spiritual practice, meditation.
Mm.
When you saw Prabhupada, when you went all over the world, in a church or a college, you just give directly Krishna. You never mention name. Even by naming his god, you just put it in front of Krishna for me, not God for this. What is this there?
Well, as I said, there's various ways of preaching. And you can try both and see what happens with both of them. They find, like in the Western world now, it's very difficult to simply present Krishna like that. Whereas if you do it indirectly, you get more people. So it depends on the certain time and the place and whatever, what you do and the effects you get. You have to experiment and see. That's all. In India, it's not necessary to do that, but in other countries, definitely. They'll just wonder what you're talking about. They don't know what you're talking about. So you may have to present other things to them. You talk about Krishna consciousness, what is that? It's a spiritual, not spiritual. They don't even know what it is. They don't know who Krishna is. So how do you approach them? They don't know if it's spiritual or not. So you have to use different techniques in different places. In fact, and even in America, how do people attract people? Prabhupada attracts them. Prasadam, not by philosophy. In many cases, they just like to eat because they're hungry hippies, so they wanted to eat. So that's how he got them. So it wasn't by philosophy or anything. It was just by eating process. And you'll see most of those early devotees came because of prasadam. That's all.
Part of service, we have to pray and time, we are obliged to give a lot of time and energy to devotees, more of that, deviations, natural situations.
Yeah, but as I said, we shouldn't get too much into that. If we do, if it dominates, we may tend to lose the spiritual principle behind it, so we have to be careful. So, done to a certain extent, but we can't be overcome by that.
Is it right to tell them, I pray for you, your family, health,
everything? Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
But they keep asking, once we start there.
No, the other thing is, they cannot, you know, people, if they become over dependent on others, that's not good either. Even some people, you know, they're sick and they go to the doctor and they're dependent on the doctor, and every time something happens, they have to go to the doctor and get some medicine, and pretty soon they're just sick because they want to go to the doctor. They're dependent on it, so they're sick on purpose. So one cannot become over-dependent. We also have a person has to become, and once it's independent, be able to practice his spiritual life, not simply depend on other people all the time completely, and just throw the problems at other people. They have to begin to solve the problems by practicing spiritual life.
Okay, when we give spiritual solution, and if they don't act according to what we think, and they blame us, oh, you gave the solution, I have more problems now.
Well, probably they don't have enough faith at that point to even practice in that case. They're not ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for devotees is another thing. For in other words, care of Vaishnavas is a spiritual thing. It's not a material thing. If we're caring for materialists is one thing, but caring for devotees is another thing. Of course, even then we cannot forget the spiritual aspect. But caring for devotees or feeding the Vaishnavas, that's actually a spiritual act. So it's a different from the caring for materialists. But, of course, we have to understand what are materialists. They can become spiritual also. They can become Vaishnavas also. So that if we can't draw a line and say Vaishnava versus materialist also, because the materialistic people can become Vaishnavas also. So.
Grantrasi Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Bhagavatam Maharaj ki, Jain Yadhati Bhakti Nasana Prabhupada ki, Bhagavatam.